Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yeah, Y'all Boss. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, how you doing, my sweet guy?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Good, because today is Real Housewives of New Jersey Day, one of my favorites of all the days in the week. So we're doing that. This is one of the last days to catch the streaming Crappies Awards show, which we did last week in LA. You can get tickets for that over at watchwhatcrappens.com. It's also where you will find links to all of our live shows. Coming up March, we start on March 9th, Charlotte, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Denver, Colorado, Salt Lake City, Seattle, San Francisco. We've also got a bunch more dates going through June. Go get your tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com, okay?
Yeah, come see us, come join us, okay? It's going to be a great, great March. I'm excited for all the shows, and I'm excited to go to some new places. Never been to Salt Lake City before, so that's going to be, I guarantee that's going to be a great show.
Yeah, that's going to definitely be a fun one, because we have never had a chance to play with any of those ladies, so let's see how it goes,
let's see who shows up. Yeah.
Okay, well, today, guess what today is? I've already said it. It's Real Housewives of New Jersey Day. And this isn't Boys Will Be Boys, is it?
No, it's not Boys Will Be Boys. That was last week. While you find your notes, I'm going to say Housewarming history lesson. So, in case you can't tell by my voice, I have a cold. And so I spent some time just lying around in bed and, you know, I'm now like obsessed with ChatGPT. We did a bonus episode where we did all these things. And so I started entering in theoretical Teresa Giudice situations. And they were all very funny what ChatGPT spat out. But this one really, really cracked me up. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read it. Hopefully, I don't think it'll take very long. I think it'll be quick. I said, I just was testing the limits of AI. And I feel like this is the best way to test AI. You know, this is what AI is meant for. So I just said, Teresa describing a fictional sport called tortellini ball. So here is a hypothetical scenario of Teresa Giudice describing a fictional sport called tortellini ball. This is all 100% written by AI. Teresa Giudice is sitting with her friends, animatedly describing a sport she recently saw on television called tortellini ball. She waves her hands around excitedly as she explains the rules of the game.
Okay, so the players wear these big puffy suits that look like tortellini, she says, and they have to like roll this giant ball made out of noodles and tomato sauce around the field, trying to get the other team's goal.
Her friends look at her skeptically. That doesn't sound like a real sport, one of them says. Teresa shakes her head.
Oh, it's real. Trust me. The players even have to wear these special chef hats and they throw grated cheese at each other to distract opponents. It's intense.
Her friends exchange amused glances. Are you sure you weren't just watching a cooking show? One of them teases. Teresa laughs.
No, it was definitely a sport. I even heard the announcer say goal in Italian.
Her friends shake their heads in disbelief, but Teresa remains convinced that tortellini ball is a real and exciting sport.
My God. Well done. It's a new sport.
I literally could imagine Teresa Giudice having that exact interaction. Like, she's like,
guys, you know what I saw? I was watching ESPN. They were playing a game called tortellini ball.
It's like, you were watching a commercial for Olive Garden.
No, it was a sport. I saw it.
Fucking Teresa picking a half flat pasta for a ball game. Idiot. Typical. Okay, so previously, Rachel's a pizza bagel, and you can't ask a woman to do a man's job. We got a little poly action. And today, we finally get some taglines. We haven't had taglines yet. right?
Yeah, it's, I think, like, was this episode 4?
Week 4, you guys. Have you been deciding on these taglines? Because it seems like you just made them up on your way to work today. Okay.
Bravo took a long time to get to the Potomac taglines also. I think that they are trying to front load the beginning of these seasons with a lot of, like, cliffhangers to get people into the season. And then once they have, like, enough cliffhanger episodes, they can then start doing these taglines. But we start out with Melissa saying, "You'll never see how toxic someone is until you breathe fresher air." I'm like, you're in New Jersey, so I don't know where you're getting that.
You wake up breathing Joe every day, so.
Home of tortellini ball.
Then Dolores, "This Jersey girl has the luck of the Irish, and nobody's screwing with my pot of golds."
And then Danielle, "I may be over the top, but I'd rather be bougie than basic."
All right. Marge is like, "I'm a loyal friend and a lethal enemy." Yeah.
She said the lethal part so quietly.
I was like, what is that, a Marge monster coming out of the... Who talks like that?
This one definitely... a lethal enemy. This one goes into the canon of Housewives taglines that have kind of strange readings. Like, to me, my favorite one was that one with Dorinda, where I think the line was something like, "I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong." Where she's, "I'm not always right!" Like, she starts off, like, screaming at it. You're like, whoa, Dorinda. That's like a...
This one's classic, like, quiet. Yeah, classic, where they have them just leave voicemails. They're like, "Hey, just do a voice record on your phone and send that over." So they're all different energies and stuff. Rachel's is pretty standard. "I'm too busy running a business to care about yours." But what is her business?
What is her business? We haven't actually seen her business yet, right?
Yeah, we haven't seen her business. Is it a pizza place? Is it, we saw her taking a lot of pictures of her kid. Isn't that all we know? It's her business.
It's weird. Then we see Jennifer. "Payback's a bitch, so stop barking, baby."
I don't get that.
Because bitches are dogs. Dogs.
Right, but who's she telling to start barking? Payback? So she wants payback to start coming for her? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Start barking. Hey, Payback, you better start barking, because that means that you're alive and you're around.
That's really bad.
She's like, stay with me, Payback. Stay with me, stay. Come on, Bach, show me you still there, Payback.
Payback's a bitch. Come back, Payback. Lost, Payback. I've been searching everywhere for her. Have you seen Payback, please? She's a bitch, but she's my bitch.
Oh, someone found my Payback, my sweet Payback. She's the cutest little Payback you ever saw.
Teresa's is actually the best. I think it's one of her... She's had a lot of good ones. I think this is definitely her best. And her deadpan trying to read this... You know, this took 20 takes to get her to do this properly. But I think it's her best so far. Hers is... "Blood made me thicker than water, but it's harder to clean when it spills." It's like, are you murdering somebody? What the fuck, like, is how going on? Are you a 10-episode Netflix series? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, did Ryan Murphy produce you? Like, what? How much blood do you have that you can actually cause a spill? Like, it's like, normally, like, blood is when it gets on you, or when it, like, I don't know. I feel like there's
murder. She sounds like a fucking murderer is what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's so good. So guess what? Something that never happens on Bravo or any reality show, really. There's a sliver moon. Dun, dun, yeah. Dun.
You're right. Somehow, so revolutionary depiction of nighttime.
Shots of Jersey, etc. Where Rachel's out. All the guys are coming home from guys' night. And it's 1:22 a.m. And all the wives are taking footage on their phone cam. And Fuda comes home. And Rachel's like, "So, tell me about your night." He's like, "Man, ain't like shots. I'm a man. A man with Bluto face. That's what you gotta know."
Yeah. And then Jackie's talking to Evan. She's like, "So, did you drink?" And he's like, "Does a horse smell like shit?" She's like, I don't know about that one.
This is supposed to be sexier, but thanks for trying. So then Marge and Bonino, she's like, "Joe, look at yourselves. Seriously, how are you even in the same shirt? I sent you 3 shirts to choose from throughout the night. You still smell disgusting, Joe. Get up and change your shirt." He's like, "Come here, woman. Take off your clothes and get into bed." She's like, "Oh my God, you wouldn't be able to function. I can function just..."
And then Nate Cabral walks into his home. He's like, that was the weakest initiation ever. I mean, we've done worse on a Monday night. Am I right? Am I right? And then it goes back to Rachel. She's like, so, John Fuda, who drank the most out of all of yous? And John Fuda's like, hey, guilty as charged.
So we go to Tree's new house, her weird little castle house thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, Louie, you want to help me, baby? We got to move these things to the party, Louie. Oh, my God. Look, there's a girl in there. She's going to be in the bubble because it's my love bubble. It's a girl in a pool in a bubble.
Yeah, and then he pretends to throw Teresa in the pool because they're outside, and she's like,
yeah, my hair.
So he's like, yeah, well, Tree, I didn't really sleep last night. I woke up this morning with a little headache. And she's like,
oh, but I thought last night was supposed to be a fun night.
And she's like, yeah. But I brought up your brother using social media saying he was there for our children.
Oh, I'm sorry you gotta go through this, Louie. I mean, your family's so wonderful to me. And then here's my family causing this circus.
You're literally doing all of this, by the way. You crazy.
You literally have a circus performer at your party.
She's sicking Louie on everybody and then being like, oh my God, I can't believe they met. So then Mel and Joe, who are also guilty as hell, Joe's on the roof of their new house, which we have seen now because, you know, the future is now. And this house is terrible. This is one of the worst. This is one of the saddest pieces of work I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of. I'm an HGTV addict. It's terrible. I watch every show on there.
It's terrible. You know what it looks like? It looks like it's some strange, like, arts and crafts project for like a group of kids where like you have a piece of paper and you have to draw like part of a house and then you fold over the piece of paper and then someone draws the next part and then you fold over paper over that and someone draws the next part and then you unfurl the whole paper and you see how the entire house looks together and it's like a whole combination of like pointy houses and squares and turrets. That's what this house looks like.
And then when you draw your mom and your dad at the bottom, they all look like Fuda. Melissa comes over in her like yoga clothes. She's like, Joe, you're building my house with your own two hands. Yeah, that's why the windows are taped on, you fucking idiot. Hire out, you know. So he's like, oh, hey, you're a woman, you got white sneakers, all right, I'm gonna carry you. That's it, get over here, I'm gonna carry you. And he looks like an ant with a slice of watermelon in a cartoon.
And she goes, wait till you see the chandeliers I picked out, which I think is the producers put that in intentionally because they just know how terrible those chandeliers are. They're like, oh, we're going to tee this one up.
It looks like that big, scary Muppet monster. Yeah. So Joe's like, I tried. All right. She's like, you survived guys' night, right? And he's like, yeah, I tried. You know, Louie brought up the podcast and it made me crazy. It just went crazy. It's like, he wasn't even around during that time. So like, we were saying we helped Joe do the show so he could put food on the table. And then we hear the clip of her saying, yeah, but there was a point where the show was getting rid of everyone on the cast but me. Melissa, it's not because you're a star. It's because you're the only connection to Teresa, you fucking idiot. And she's like, yeah, and Teresa was away at prison. And that Teresa at camp show was able to be made because Joe needed someone to film with. And here we were. So he had someone to bounce ideas off of and someone to talk to on it. And that, you know, that like brought money and fed his family.
And then we see them, we hear them talk about it on the podcast. But then we actually see a clip from 2015 of Joe talking to Gorga, talking about like how difficult it is. So I feel like the inclusion of that clip was the producer's way of actually backing Melissa a little bit because they didn't need to include that. So then Melissa was like, I mean, when we were saying that, like, you know, like all we were saying is that when family is down and you needed us, we stepped up to the plate and like we put food on the table. All right, let's like twist that and string it out and throw it the wrong way.
No, they didn't take it. They didn't misunderstand you. They got mad at saying you put food on the table for them when you got to be on their show. You know what I mean? Like you came onto this show and then they got a spinoff even without Teresa being there and you still got to be on this show. You don't think there's anyone else they could have called? I mean, I love the example they showed of, oh yeah, look at Joe. He did so much for this show. So they show Gorga like in a garage or something with Judice. And Judice is, of course, grilling in a garage or like a shack, right, or something. Yeah. And then Joe goes, hey, ain't this hot? Like, parenthood, right? And he goes, yeah, you know what? So what? Who cares? They're like kids, you know? Like, so, you know what? The girls. That's it. That's it. That's all I got to say about it. So what? Who cares? It's like, wow, amazing work.
I mean, what's funny is that there's a huge flaw in Melissa and Joe's argument saying that, like, hey, we showed up to film with Joe because they needed that, like, they needed the money. So they said, we need you to film with us. So we showed up and filmed. The implication is that, like, if Joe hadn't been filming something, they would not have shown up at all, you know, yeah, which is kind of funny.
Which is the accusation. Like, the accusation is they only showed up to shoot. They're making it sound like they were there all the time, literally putting food on our table, when they only showed up when they were getting paid to be there, you know?
Yeah. Well, if I can be devil's advocate, I can see a world in which the logic is what they're basically saying is, we didn't want to go over there because Joe Giudice is a dick, and Joe Gorga was so angry at Joe Giudice for getting his sister put in jail that, like, it was going to cause tension no matter what. And so, like, we didn't even want to film this stupid show, but, like, fine, we did it, even though we didn't. Like, I can see that that's what they're thinking. Whether or not that's, like, you know, is it dramatic to say we put food on their table? Absolutely. I think that's where they went wrong. They should not be saying they put food on their table because they filmed the show. They should just be like, look, they needed us to film.
They shouldn't be doing this podcast. They shouldn't be doing this podcast. This podcast is making them look terrible because editing has been very kind to them, I think, in the past. And it's really made them look like kind of victims of Teresa. That podcast is killing it. I mean, they sound horrible on that thing. They're like, oh, what? If it weren't for us, the kids wouldn't be eaten. We were the ones who came for a show. I am the only one who wasn't fired from the show. And there she is in jail, and there we come to save her. I mean, they just sound horrible on that show. Terrible choice. Terrible choice to do it.
Yeah, you should just always let Teresa just... Teresa will always make herself look bad, you know? So just, like, let her... Just stop talking and let her just fall into the traps. And so
he's going on and on, you know, still about, like, and then you don't invite my in-laws, and then you don't put you in my wedding, and blah, blah. He starts going on that whole thing again. And back to Louis and Tree, he's like, you want some water? And she's like, I'm so embarrassed in it. Like, how many times did he tell you to go fuck yourself? And he goes,
you know, multiple.
Yeah, I mean, he was upset that Melissa's sister and mother weren't invited. And Teresa's like,
yeah, but, like, if I didn't put Melissa in my wedding, I'm not close to Melissa. So, like, why would I be close to her family?
And he's like, well, because your father was around his mother-in-law and they had a relationship that was very close.
And so, like, why didn't my brother invite you into your family to Antonia's Sweet 16?
He's like, I don't know.
She goes, yeah, because we don't care.
But we see footage. First of all, a Sweet 16 is not the same as a wedding. And also, the Sweet 16, that was in 2021. Louis was, like, new to the entire thing. Like, why would all of Louis' family be invited to...
And he was there. It just wasn't all of his extended family.
Yeah, but, like, why would his extended family, when he is new to Teresa's life, be at this Sweet 16? And again, a Sweet 16 is not the same as a wedding. Sorry, a Sweet 16 is not... No. It's not anything.
Teresa's being a Teresa. She goes, how dares he speak to you like that? Teresa English kills.
You know what? The thing is this, is that, like, Teresa obviously is not obligated to invite anyone that she doesn't want at her wedding, and that's fine. I do think the right thing to do would be to invite Melissa's sister and mom. I think that's what you would do. But if you're not going to do it, just be like, I hate the bitch. That's why. Just say that, you know, instead of like, well, you know, we're not close, you know, I don't know, they didn't come to the mentor. You know, like, the whole, you see, by the way, when she's been holding on to this moment since that Sweet 16 to be like, she's like, well, I didn't care that Louis' family wasn't invited to Sweet 16. She obviously did, because this is revenge, partially.
Well, also, the sisters are horrible. They hate Teresa. Like, those Marge Simpson sisters, they're both like, oh, yeah, fuck her. They don't like her. Weren't they kept off the show? I've been reading rumors or hearing rumor from Social Media this week that the sisters were kept off the show for a while because it was just constantly coming for Teresa through Melissa. Now, who knows how much of that is true? But it's not like the sisters have ever liked Teresa. Why the fuck would Teresa want to bring the sisters? Now, the mother, I could kind of understand, you know, being upset. But maybe she was like, but if I invite her, then I gotta invite the sisters.
Yeah, but
Joe Gorga. Second wedding.
Yeah, but also Joe and Melissa did invite Joe Giudice's family to their wedding, and they're pieces of work too. So
yeah, but that was their first big wedding. This is like your late in life wedding. It's supposed to be smaller. I hate being in this situation where I'm sticking up for Teresa because she sucks.
You don't have to.
I don't care about Melissa or Joe either. And that's just the crux of the season, as with every recent season of this show. Like, I'm arguing over shit I don't care about. They're both horrible fucking human beings, okay?
Yeah. Well, I think that Teresa is tacky to not invite the mother-in-law. So Louis's like, you know what? So Gorga's like, we've been in many fights and arguments, but since she met Louis, I really don't feel welcomed in her new life, you know? And he's like, I can't help my emotions. I can't.
And, of course, Melissa's like, yeah, well, she has a new family now. She doesn't need you anymore. I get how you feel. That's how you feel. Like, God, fucking Melissa. Of course, that's what Melissa's saying, you know? Just stirring him up. Stirring him up. He's like, I can't take it anymore.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Come.
Life is short, and it's full of a lot of interesting questions. What does happiness really mean? How do I get the most out of my time here on Earth? And what really is the best cereal? These are the questions I seek to resolve on my weekly podcast, Life is Short with Justin Long. If you're looking for the answer to deep philosophical questions like what is the meaning of life, I can't really help you. But I do believe that we really enrich our experience here by learning from others. And that's why in each episode, I like to talk with actors, musicians, artists, scientists, and many more types of people about how they get the most out of life. We explore how they felt during the highs and sometimes more importantly, the lows of their careers. We discuss how they've been able to stay happy during some of the harder times. But if I'm being honest, it's mostly just fun chats between friends about the important stuff. Like, if you had a sandwich named after you, what would be on it? Follow Life is Short wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
In the aftermath of a shocking crime, people always ask, why? Why would someone do something like that? What could possibly push them to commit such a horrible act? Was it money? Revenge? What makes people like that tick? I'm Candace DeLong, host of the podcast Killer Psyche, where I explain the thoughts, motivation, and behaviors of the most violent figures in history. You may think you know these cases, but trust me, you do not. Using my decades of experience as an FBI agent and criminal profiler, I dig deeper into the twisted psychology of why. Many of the cases covered on Killer Psyche I actually worked on, like the serial killer Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, and Dennis Rader, also known as BTK. Follow Killer Psyche wherever you get your podcast. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Then back to Tree. She's like, what did I do that was so traumatic? And Louis's like, I think he misses his sister. Well, he's hurt me, then why is he hurting me? He's like, well, call him right now. You know what? That's what you got to do. Call him and make some peace with him. Come on. You could do it.
She's like, all right.
No. You're just pressing your pop socket. Turn the phone over. Press the button with his face on it.
Oh, all right. You want to be in my love bubble? All right, this party is my love bubble. All right, the housewarming. So if he wants to move on, then, great. Come to my love bubble. If he doesn't wish to move on, then I wish him all the best outside of my love bubble.
So then she calls him up and she goes,
hi.
He goes, what's up?
I'm happy that you answered the phone. All right. What's going on?
He's doing that the way he's talking like that. Like, oh my God, I've just been crushed. I've just been
you tell me. Crushed. You tell me what's going on.
Nothing. It's all good.
So then Louis writes down something. He has a notebook. He writes down something. He's like, turns around, goes, she reads it. She goes,
you wanna make peace?
Yeah. Peace. Fine. Finito.
No, well, I'm happy to hear that, but also egg salami milk, sorry.
Louis shaking his head.
I went too far. All right. Hey, do you want to talk about anything to make you feel better?
And he's like, no, because you know what? Talking upsets me. That's it. I'm done with talking.
Well, my therapist says it's no good talking about the past because you'll never get anywhere. And Gorga's like, yeah, that's Which, what I just said. By
the way, fucking where'd this therapist come from? Therapy is literally about the past.
Yeah. Gorga's like, well, let's see. There may be a difference between what the therapist said and what Teresa heard, by the way. let's be fair. So Gorga's like, he's like, well, that's just what I said. I said I don't want to talk about it. But if you talk about things, it resurfaces, you know? So then Louis writes another note, and Teresa goes,
are you coming to my housewarming party? Are you coming to my housewarming party?
Like, I don't know. She goes, don't know. All right, well, I love you. He's like, love you. Bye. And she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe he said I love you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, baby steps, tree. Oh, baby steps.
Oh, so he's like, I'm proud of you, babe. That's the courage.
She's like, I can't believe he said that.
So then we go over to Dolores's. And, you know, Frankie's there. You know, little Frankie. Hey, Ma. It's me, Frankie Jr. All right, what's that? What's it? Everything going all right? Who's coming over? My girlfriend? Is that my grandma over there? My girlfriend? Good to see you. Hey, grandma, come over here. We're sitting by the pool. Come over here. Welcome. You're always welcome here, grandma. Have a seat. You're gorgeous. God, you're gorgeous.
Oh, my Frankie. Wow, your yard looks nice, Dolores. You finally got your pool. And Dolores like, well, what do you want? What do you want? You want some water? No, just a couple of grapes, Dolores. All right. And Frankie's like, so Nana, what's going on with your diet? I'm being very careful. Being very careful now.
Yeah, well, Mom, you got to be careful, because if you're not careful, you're going to have heart surgery again.
Oh, I don't want that, Dolores.
All right, you woke up this morning, Mom. What did you have? You had what? Just
a piece of cake. But I haven't had cake all week, Dolores.
All right, what'd you have the rest of the week, Ma?
Cookies.
My mom is a very God-fearing woman, but she's set in her ways. So I'm not arguing with Valerie anymore. I'm done, okay? So Valerie's like, no, I'm being good. It was a piece of cake, followed by another piece of cake. And since I didn't have cake all week long, I had 6 more slices. I'm being good.
Listen, it was a fruit cake.
So they start talking about Polly. She, you know, she's like, "How's Polly?" And Dolores is like, "Oh, you know, he met the guys, you know, and everyone loved him. Everyone loved him.
Always good to you. He loves your kids.
He's very protective. You know, he's very protective of her. You know, but Ma, what's up with Polly and Dad? It's rough. It's rough. Am I right? It's rough."
Well, listen, Dad took it personal when Paulie said, I'll take over now. If you need to fix something at your house, you don't have to call Frank. I'm the man of your life. Dad didn't like that, okay? He goes, Paulie says, look, I want a relationship with you, not me, you, and Frank's kneecaps, okay?
Yeah, but Ma, I think you took a look at how Dad and David are, and I think you took a look at how Dad and David are and said, I don't want that to happen.
No. And I don't see Paul and Dad ever hanging out like Dad's used to. There.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think? I think there's miscommunication here. There's miscommunication. That's what it is. They were somewhat reluctant to speak to each other for whatever reason. And they don't have to. They don't have to. They don't have to get along. They don't have to.
Listen, they don't have to be friends, but they can get along. Ma, where did that cake come from? For crying out loud.
It's in my purse.
Is your fireplace a painting? I'm sorry to just interrupt
maybe.
You. I just saw
oh,
that.
For in the interview?
Yeah.
Well, yes, probably because what they do for the interviews, it looks like they make little backdrops. They do like a high-res photo that they turn into a backdrop. I've seen it when they have like their breaking the fourth wall moments, that it's not necessarily green screen, but they basically just like wheel in a backdrop. So that's why the fireplace would look like a photo, because it's...
No, it looks like a painting, still, like in a stage show, like a norm, yeah. Like a you know, Charles Dickens play or something. It's weird.
It probably has that look because it's essentially a backdrop.
Yeah, weird.
Well, for 27 years, my family has been 100% my priority. That included Frank, whether he deserved it or not, because Frank was an absolute shit husband. But I wanted the family to be close with Frank's feelings and consideration. But now it's my feelings and my relationships with Paulie, and Frank's gonna get over it. Hold on 1 second. Hello? Sure. Hey, everyone. Frank's going to stay over for the next 2 months. Okay.
Frankie, go inside and reinforce the couch. So then we go to Biagio's, and it's date night with Jen and Bill. And Jen's like, look at this rain. And Bill says, sometimes in Jersey, you get what's going to come.
You never know what's going to come any kind of night of the year. So then Jen's like,
well, look at this, Bill. They got a spicy pineapple margarita here, Bill. I think I'm going to have one.
And he's like, I think I'm going to stick to wine tonight.
Well, I better not mix in, Bill.
You sure?
Well, I don't want you having to carry me out, Bill.
So she talks about how her son, her older son, is going to prom soon, and he asked for a party bus, so she got him one. And he's like,
you have to recognize that you created a monster, a glamazon, if you will, and them wanting to host their friends and you not being able to say no is part of the issue. I mean, I get it. It's so hard to say no sometimes when all you want to say is yes, 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 but discipline, discipline.
She tells us, I know Bill didn't want me to spoil the kids, but my kids had a rough year because of what you did. So if my son wants a party bus, I'm getting him a party bus. And you really shouldn't have anything to say about it. Thank you.
And she talks about how, you know, she struggles. She has a hard time doing anything that makes her kids feel sad, which means that the kids are totally playing her, right? Like, those kids have total control of their mother. So Bill's like, you may have to deal with your issues. And she goes,
What's irritating? You know what's irritating? How it's so easy for you to assume it's something I did when it's really the patterns that you have. I mean, your new Ferrari just came in, mister, but it's my fault. It's my fault. I don't understand why it's so easy to use me as a scapegoat, baby. Like the fight with Dolores from the moment we left. I was feeling like I was constantly defending myself, okay? I was defending myself, baby.
What's she even talking about?
She basically is like,
she's like, get over your, he's like, babe, if you feel the guilt is making you spend all this money on them, you're creating monsters. She's like,
you just got a new Ferrari, baby.
Like, okay, so you're trying to use money to piss off your husband and retaliate, but he's got an endless stream of money coming. Like, a party bus is not going to put a dent in the account of someone who just bought a new Ferrari. Like, you need to get deeper. I need you to start searching through his phone and, like, finding real ways of retaliation.
I don't know if it's about the money as more of it's just, like, anything they want, they get. But either way, I think she just wanted to.
Yeah, which
is woof, 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 woof. That was some payback, baby.
That was payback. Payback's a bitch. Anybody seen her?
So Bill's like, so he's getting angry. He's starting to get this look on his face like, I thought we were going to be fun, Dr. and Mrs. Aiden on camera. So he's like, you were upset at me for trying to defuse the situation. And she's like,
yeah, but you were trying to get me to see their side. Why don't you see my side, baby? Say, baby, you got me. Like, I've got your back. Okay, why don't you do that, baby? Why don't you do that for once?
He does see your side. You're wrong. Your side is wrong, you big dummy, okay?
Yeah.
And so he's like, she goes,
say, baby, you got me on your back at all times.
And he goes, wait, you don't feel like you got me on your back at all times?
She's like, no, sometimes you take my love for granted because you know I'll always forgive you.
He's like, my feelings are hurt that you're shitting on me when I'm trying to defuse a situation,
Yeah, but who are you trying to defuse the situation for, mister?
And he's like, for you, not for them, but for you. She's like,
well, what if it's not what I want? It seems like the only thing you want to say is in rebuttal to what I want, okay? And I'm like, why am I arguing with my husband? And he goes,
oh, so do you only want things on your terms?
She's so ridiculous. The only things he's saying are rebutting what you're saying because you're having fucking fits in public and screaming the C word at people. Like, what the hell, Jen? And so she's like,
would it hurt you to gas me up a little?
He's like, all right, baby. She's a fucking cup fitness. Is that what you want? She goes,
yes. Yes, that is what I want. What's wrong with that?
She's a classic. Okay. She's a fucking classic, this one.
I know. He's like, okay, all right. It's like, but you tell the kids the greater good is to defuse. So then we go to Rachel. Rachel goes to a restaurant and she's meeting up with Jennifer Fesler. And good news, because I've got this cold right now. I've got perfect Jennifer Fesler voice. Hi. Oh my God, look at you. I find this whole thing annoying. Look at you. The body, the fashion. This is annoying. You're too skinny. It's annoying. I'm Jennifer Fesler.
And Rachel is in like a child's crop top with polka dot lace off the shoulder sleeves.
It's odd.
I fucking love it. So she tells us, I love that bitch, Jennifer Fesler. You know, when you just meet someone and you're like, I know them from another life. Like, I immediately clicked with Jennifer Fesler. And Fesler's like, you know what I feel like? I feel like we're kindred spirits. That's what we're doing.
And Rachel goes, you know what? You remind me of my Long Island Jewish family. Your mother. Long Jewish just mother. Just say it. I'm the mother. I'm the mother. I'm the Fez mom. I get it. Listen, I didn't look like Rachel Buddha at 31. I was like 223, which is like Evander Holyfield's weight when he won the heavyweight championship, okay? And I've been so sucked in by the sweetness by her, which has nothing to do with how heavy I was at 31. And she's such an old, she's an old, old soul. She basically is like the Fez, but in younger form. You know what I'm saying?
So I
call myself the Fez.
They're ordering, and she's like, I love the meatballs if you want. And you know what? I'm going to have the margarita pizza. And she goes, oh, yeah, okay. Can we share that? She goes, no. Yeah, no. No, I'm not into that.
I'm not into that.
And Rachel goes, okay, well, I'll have the salmon then. It's like, you didn't even want the pizza. So funny. She just wanted to not be eating, you know, while they sat there. So then they start talking about the drama. Rachel's like, oh my God, so much drama, so much offense to the delicious mozzarella that was not consumed at that party.
Yeah. Rest in peace to the mozzarella, but the mozzarella that was not consumed. And Jen goes, I consumed it. And we see the shot of her just cramming it into her mouth again. So Rachel's like, so I saw Margaret and Jennifer fighting, and then I saw Dolores and Jennifer fighting. And Jen's like, oh yeah. Jen Aiden is coming in hot. She's coming in real hot.
Yeah, she is coming in hot. Like, did you hear her talk about my nose? And then we see a clip of Jennifer going, is that your nose? She goes, I got my nose done. And she goes, oh, but is it still swelling? Do you mean, is it still swelling? Well, I mean, Jennifer is such an asshole. So Fesler goes, you weren't offended by this? And she goes, oh, no, I'm an open book. Like, you could ask me anything. Well, you're a better woman than I am. Why? What would you have said to her? I don't know. Fuck you. How about that?
So Rachel's like, well, we leave the moots party. And then she's like, hey, I hope I didn't offend you by bringing up your nose job. I'm just not happy about my results. And then we start talking, start BSing. And then she started talking shit about Dolores. And I don't think she realizes I'm very friendly with Dolores. I mean, like, I've known Frank and his girlfriend, Brittany, for like 10 years, okay? Like, Brittany and I met in the gym training for a bikini bodybuilding show because we're the only two psychos on a treadmill at 4 in the morning doing fasted cardio. And Frank was training me. Am I right? You know what I'm saying here?
These two look like Mr. Potato Head's put in a toaster, okay? They show the picture of them together, that her and this girl named Brittany, because, you know, you have to get, like, really brown yourself up for these bikini competitions. I mean, my guy is like two paper bags with eyes in them. And did you notice also that Fesler does march hands? She does, like, she holds...
She does, all of
her fingertips together, like Marge, or, like, two or three of her fingertips together. She's just like her. So, she's like, let's see. Oh, yeah. So Rachel's like, yeah. So I'm like, why am I any part of this? And she's like, I'm just giving you history. And so I'm like, bye. And Fesler's like, oh, yeah. So Jen called me and we talked about therapy or whatever at the party. And then we see a clip of Fesler saying, therapy is the bomb.
Yeah.
Therapy and Prozac.
So she started launching into bad mouthing Margaret, says how Marge is jealous of her. And Rachel goes, jealous of what? I don't know. Jen Aiden has big balls. She thinks I'm going to switch teams. I've been bestie with Margaret for like 3 years. Her balls are too big. She has huge balls. They're not attractive. It's getting gross. Gross, big balls.
Manipulative. And so Rachel's like, you know, it's like high school. My friends did this. And my mom always said, if there's a red flag wave and a parade's coming, jealousy's the disease. Get well soon, Jennifer Aiden. So
what parade is coming though? If there's a red flag, watch out. The male cast
of fucking Real Housewives of New Jersey with drums, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
My God.
Watch out for that parade. That whimsical parade with balloons.
Her mother has Rachel fearing parades. She's like, if you see a red flag, go inside. A parade's a coming.
Yeah. So now we have Margaret and Dolores are at a store, and Dolores, they're picking out gifts for Teresa's housewarming, and Dolores like, oh, look at this. It's very Teresa. Yeah, it's very zenny. It's so zenny. I love this for Teresa right here.
And yeah, Dolores, you know, like, what? I'm going to shop at random because I'm here for my girlfriend. Like, I can't even hold a candle, okay? You know what? But here's candles, here's plants. Oh, hi, Dolores. I picked this because of candles and flowers because Teresa, you know, she loves a Buddha and all that shit.
What about that shit up there that we could just put some air plants in? What are air plants? Plants that live off the air. Oh, that's great to know. I'm a known killer of plants, actually.
Thankfully, it's not plants just trying to play the guitar to music, you know, with their fingers, because frankly, I'm sick of it, you know. Well, Joe upset is still upset because Tree didn't invite Don and Marco to the wedding, okay? Well, he's upset and he's hurt. You know what we should do? Call Melissa and see how she's doing. So
that's a great idea. Let's call her, but it's not going to be on FaceTime, but let's look at the camera. Let's look at the phone as if it is FaceTime. Okay, let's see how her face is looking in the reflection of the phone. They did that, right? They totally, like, Marge got, like, up close to Dolores' face, like they were going to be on FaceTime, but it was totally not on FaceTime.
Hi, Melissa. How's Joe? Well, he just lost his shit because, like, Tree has known my mom and sisters forever and not to invite them to the wedding?
Well, why weren't they invited to the wedding? I mean, that's bizarre. Like, that hurts my heart because your mother doesn't deserve that. How does he feel about going to Teresa's housewarming party? Okay, the love bubble. And then Melissa's like, well, he doesn't want to come, but there's a piece of me that wants him to come and just listen to whatever she's going to say and accept it in his heart and stop and move on. And Dolores goes, you never know. You never know. No, we know. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen.
You know what tells you? Time. Time will tell you. You just never know what time is going to say to you.
You know what? They just...
Hey, time. Hold on a second. Time. What do you have to say for yourself? Cookies. All right, Ma. Get off my phone. All right.
Listen, Joe and Teresa, they just need to clear the air, which could be unfortunate because the air plants need that air. But you know what? Priorities.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
I just wanna feel you. I just wanna feel you.
So we're at the Love Bubble Party, and there are cookies that say love. And Teresa passes by the table of cookies and goes, love, love, love.
Yeah. And there's Melania's there in the backyard, and Teresa's like, Melania, look at the dancer. She's gonna be in a bubble in the pool, Melania.
And Louis's like, are there any loose ends, babe? Just like everybody who submitted to articles about your weird nature to people last year. I don't know. Yeah. There's a loose end. She's running around in a marathon in a wedding dress. Can we get her?
Yeah, her. So Melissa, meanwhile, is FaceTiming with Joe. And he's like, hey, listen, I really can't go tonight. I just texted Teresa and I'm really not ready to come because, like, honestly, I just don't want to come. And he tells us, I feel like she doesn't really want me there. I feel like it's a game. It's like the worst feeling to walk into your own family's home and you feel uncomfortable. Sucks, man. I'm tired. I can't even go over to Teresa's house and ask if she wants to make out anymore. She got a new man. It's strange.
It's like I'm chewing gum, but it's wasted. You know what I mean? And so Melissa is getting her makeup done by Nikki Cassack. Like, she gets full credit.
Jacob, I know her whole name is up there.
I love that this whole episode is you putting food on people's table, but also refusing to pay to get your makeup done on TV. Fucking Melissa. So Gia comes up to Teresa and she's like, who's coming today, Ma? She's like, well, my brother's not coming. He texted me.
And Gia's like, you know, I thought I was going to see him today. I haven't seen him in a very long time. I'm like, you know, Gia, you have a car. You can go visit your uncle if you haven't seen him. Sorry to break it to you.
Well, he's missing some millstones. He's missing my housewarming. That was a millstone. He missed my 50th. That was a millstone. You know, it's been no after no after no. You're my brother.
You know, Louis said, he said all the other things that, like, why we didn't invite Melissa's family? Like, why not?
And Melania's like, it's your wedding, Mom.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not like you're invited to every little thing for their family. Okay, a wedding isn't every little thing.
I know, okay, guys. Gia. You know. Come on.
And Melania is like, yeah, you show no happiness when my ma finally met the guy of her dreams. Really?
They're all brainwashed by Teresa now. So then Gorga's like, I have to get over the fact that we're never going to have what I thought we'd have. My sister does what makes her happy. She didn't put you in the wedding. She sat us at another table. That's what makes her happy. And she keeps her family away from her. And I'm going to chill at home and you go and have a good time.
Now, we're never going to have what I thought we was going to have. Babies.
I mean, he is right. So after all this, though, I mean, I don't understand why Joe and Melissa can't be offended, can't be upset, but do what every other person does in the situation. You go to the party and then you talk shit afterwards, you know?
Yeah, they're such babies. Okay, so if Teresa hadn't invited you to her housewarming, you'd be like, how can my sister be like that? And if Teresa hadn't called you, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you don't even call me. But she calls you and she invites you and you're still like, how dare she? I just can't. I can't get over it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's ridiculous. And Melissa's upset. She's like, she just wants Joe to come. So that way Teresa can't like make him look like the bad guy. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. He doesn't show up. And then
Teresa is the bad guy. That is being the bad guy. It's not making him look like the bad guy. That is him being the bad guy. Just being like, fuck you and your housewarming after you called to make sure everything was okay. And I'm still not going to go or let my family go. I'm just sending Melissa, who you hate. Like, have fun.
Yeah. So now Dolores shows up and she's like, she's hugging everyone and Polly's there. And Polly's like, oh, this is spectacular. Beautiful, beautiful party. And Danielle.
Someone help that woman. She's fallen into a dry cleaning bag and rolled into the pool. It's supposed to be that way, Polly. That poor lady in the love bubble looks just miserable. I've never seen somebody pull that off. We've seen this on a lot of Bravo shows, the lady in the pool. It never looks right. It looks like just someone trying to crawl across a bouncy house and not being able to find their footing, you know?
I'm always surprised that, like, no one dies. Like, aren't you going to suffocate after a while? I mean, how much air do you have in that thing?
Time will tell. You know what the greatest teller is? Time.
Time. So people show up. Louis Jr. Is there. And so Teresa's like, oh my God, my stepson. I love saying that. My stepson. Hey, Gia, have you started saying that? My stepbrother? You want to say that? My stepbrother. Okay, if it feels weird, just say, my better brother. My better family. Try that. Say that. That's a way to say it.
So Danielle comes over and she's like, beautiful house, beautiful. Here's a big basket for you. It's custom passports for you and your whole family. All right? You're welcome. There's a woman in your pool.
Custom passport.
Custom passports?
I don't know. Was it passports? I thought it was.
It was like passports. Clothing. You see the passports in the.
Oh.
I mean, I think.
Passport maybe holders?
I guess, yeah.
That's not thinking that's what it was.
I was cracking up. And Teresa's like, that's my love bubble. Got it. So other people start coming. Fezzer shows up with an, oh my God. And then she's with her husband. And she's like, hey, everyone. You thought he didn't exist? It's Jeff Fessler.
Everyone, the man of the hour. The man, the myth, the legend. Jeff Fessler. Jeff Fessler's like, hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Hi, I'm Jeff Fessler.
Hi, Jeffy. Oh, hi, Jeff. I really know Jeff. Like, we're very close. I call him Jeffy.
Yeah. But then there's about, like, 10 minutes of everyone kissing each other on the cheek. Like, mwah, mwah. Oh, hi. Hi. Mwah. Hi, this is Jeff. Mwah. Oh, hi, Jeff. Jeff, this is Danielle. Mwah. This is Nate. Mwah. Oh, hi. Hi. Oh, that's my stepson. Hi. 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 Good to see you. Hi.
I know. I wrote longest hug segment of all time. So Jen hobbles up because she's still in her foot cast thing. And Aiden. She comes to the group and she's like, hello, people. We are here.
And she has this big gift. And Margaret's like, what is that? Is that a menorah? What is that? And Teresa's like, no, it's a tree of life because I'm tree. Get it? I'm tree. Which was amazing that that Teresa was able to like marry those two concepts together. It was shocking. Margaret's like, it's a tree of life. I mean, it looks like a menorah. I mean, I was like, when did Teresa convert? Is this like a bat mitzvah? What's going on? It's like a tree menorah. Like, if I see a tree on fire, I'm like, look at that giant menorah tree. Am I right, everyone? Come on, someone tell me that they're enjoying the stand-up routine. Okay, I'm just working. It's workshopping it. Think about taking it to the city next.
All right, you know, but I didn't get any laughs, so I'm just going to move straight through to the next act. Jennifer Aiden is so up Jen Fessler's ass. And Jacqueline and Dolores are like, really? And just, oh yeah, she called Jen Fessler and she talks shit about me. Can you believe this? Of course you can, you know. And Marge is like, we see that they called from lunch to Tattletale.
Yeah.
That they're like, guess what? We just figured out at lunch. Jen called us both to talk shit about you. She's like, I'm not mad at her for being disingenuous. It's because I'm envious and I want to be on the carpool line at fucking 55 years old. I'm just very jealous of Jen, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be at the carpool line at 55. Give me a break. I mean, it's like you're a professional victim. Like, how you want all this attention? Like, now you want all this attention because you obviously don't get any at home. Okay, what do you think? She's not going to tell me? Jen Fessler's not going to tell me? Bonehead. Bonehead.
So then Tree sees Rosanna and Mosanna.
Rosanna. The sisters, Rosanna. She goes, oh! You guys are sisters. I have sisters now. She's such an asshole.
Where's Melissa? She's the only one that isn't here. Oh, wait, there she is. She's here. I see her.
And so Melissa comes in, all uncomfortable. And Jen is like, oh, my God, Melissa, coming up without Joe, it's making a very clear statement. When he said he was a little, when I said he was a little bitch boy, I take that back. He's a drama queen.
And Rachel's like, is Joe really not here? I mean, that's sad, though. I mean, how's he been with the girls and stuff? And Teresa's like, yeah, they haven't seen him in 6 months. And Rachel's like, oh, my God. And Danielle tells us, you know, you have to be blind, deaf, and mute to deal with my fashion sense, but also to not see the connection we go through with our brothers. I mean, once too much time passes, that's it. I just hope that Joe doesn't make the same mistakes that me and my brother did, mainly make fun of me on Instagram. I just hope he doesn't do that.
So the boys are like, we're boys, we take shots. So they do that. And Louis's like, hey, Paulie, you're one lucky motherfucker, huh? And Paulie's like, I feel like if I fell out a window, I'd go up. And then they take shots.
Took me a moment to get that. Like last night when he said, I was like, I didn't get it. But now I get it because it's like he's lucky because he won't fall to the ground. He goes up to the sky. I get it now.
So then the girls are talking and Dolores is like, oh God, bad news, everybody. Frank and Brittany can't make it. And Rachel's like, oh my God, Frank and Paulie don't seem to ever be in the same place. What's up with that? She goes, well, it's not a Frank and a Paulie thing. Oh, really? Because from what he says, like he misses you, okay? And he misses your old dynamic. She goes, well, I'm sorry, but listen, I'm 52 years old. I've taken care of everybody. You're right. You need to take care of you now. And I need to take care of me now. And that's just what's going to happen, all right? You know what? Everyone thinks Frank is the man in my life. Well, he's not. And I don't want that again. So if I have to be separate from certain things, reasonable things, that's how it's got to be. And everyone's got to get the fuck over it. All right, new person. And Fupa's like, all right, okay.
So then we have this incredibly awkward scene where Melissa is talking to Gia and Gabriella, who are now old enough to really resent their aunt. And it's just like really, really awkward. And Gabriella,
it's so good. Like, yeah. Gabriella is literally standing there stink eyeing her. And Gia is just squinting at her and smiling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Gabriella's like, yeah, well, I got finals tomorrow, so I've got to go study. I can't waste my brain cells on you right now. And Melissa's like, well, I was going to bring Joey with me because, you know, Antonio's at cheer and Gino's on a trip. But he fell asleep. And then Gia's like, oh, I miss them. Now, I'm just realizing as I'm saying it right now, I thought she meant Joe Gorga and she was lying to them and they knew she was lying. But I think she was talking, she has a son named Joey too, right?
Yeah, she was talking about her kid.
Okay. Because then when I saw it, I was like seeing layers of deception and like fakery. And I was like, oh, this is so awkward. But now it's only a good amount awkward instead of super awkward.
No, I mean, these girls have just heard what Melissa said on her podcast and are like, fuck you. You were never at our house unless there were cameras there. And so Melissa looks nervous. You know, she's like, hi, guys, how are you? I feel like I haven't seen you. And they just squint at her. So good. So then it cuts to Danielle. She's like, oh, my God, look at all this food. This food looks amazing. What is that, rigatoni? Oh, my God. I was going to bring Tupperwares in my purse. I'll walk out with a whole tray. Do not tempt me, ladies. Do not tempt me.
I mean, I almost had those Tupperwares. Almost had the Tupperwares. So Louis and Teresa stand up on their, like, that, like, island thing, the grill, whatever. They stand up to make a speech, and Louis, hi everyone, I just want to take a minute, want to thank everybody for coming to our home. It's not just our friends and family. I want to thank everyone for being loving and supporting towards us.
Yeah, because like, you guys is our chosen family.
And then the music gets really dramatic, and she's like, everyone here is really special to us for today, so thank you for coming, because we love you from the bottom of our heart. We won't want anybody here but you.
And then Bill goes, we miss you, Joe.
So Mark was like, Melissa, that was a dick thing to say. Are you okay? She's like, I'm okay. I'm okay. And so Mark tells us, I don't
poor think poor Melissa. She's like, I'm okay. Like, trying to hold back the tears.
It was a dick. It was a dick thing to say, though. And Margaret's like, well, I don't think chosen family was the right thing to say when your brother's not there. And then it's going to be like, oh, I didn't mean anything about it, honey. I chose these people because I love them. It's hurtful. You have to think before you speak, Teresa. You speak, think before you speak.
He's the one who didn't come. He was invited. And we all have a family and a chosen family. I have both. I call my friends chosen family. It doesn't mean I'm glad my mom's not at the same dinner.
So Melissa is basically telling Jackie that she's sad that Joe isn't there. And Melissa just starts to cry. The whole thing makes her cry. So she like goes off to the bathroom crying. And Michael's like, I feel bad. And Melissa's like, you know, at certain times I try to be stronger for Joe, but I have my own breaking points. I mean, I don't get it. These subtle digs, her chosen family. Like, what about all these people that were there for her for years? When she was away driving the girls to dance, I was the one pulling up to her house. It all means nothing. I just know that Joe was at home upset.
Melissa is so good with completely tearless cries. It's actually impressive. And then she goes into the bathroom and you just see her, hear her fake sobs from behind the door into her mic. I'm so sure. Also, subtle digs, what about none of your family showing up to her housewarming? Not even your fucking kids.
See, this is why I'm mad that Joe didn't go to the housewarming, because I think that Joe and Melissa have the higher ground in this whole argument. But when Joe does stuff like this, he's basically undermining his own position in this stupid feud.
So Tree's like, oh no, the sprinklers are on! So it's like a wacky scene of the sprinklers coming on all over the party, and then Louis running around trying to figure out how to shut them off. Which is funny. So then Melissa comes back to the group and she's like, oh my God, I know my eyes are red, but I just poked myself in the eyes in case anyone's wondering. Yes, Melissa. Oh my God. Is there any spare wood around to like put a cross together for Melissa to crawl up onto? Thanks.
So Melissa asks Jackie if she's spoken to Rachel yet. And Jackie's like, yeah, I gave her a big hug and a kiss. I just don't like Danielle. And Melissa's like, well, I have to be honest about something. The other day, Danielle, we got to talking about the mozzarella party. And I did say that you were very insulted. And I did say that you said her shorts looked like they were in the hamper. Sorry.
And Jackie's like, I'm not even mad at that, because you know what? She is a horrible dresser, and she wore those hamper shorts 2 weeks in a row, and she's not significant to me. And also, this is the second thing I've said on camera this entire episode, so thank you. And Danielle's like,
oh, right there. Yeah, Danielle's, by the way, right next to them.
So Danielle's like, oh, wait, I have to step in here. Is this appropriate, or does it look like it came out of my dirty hamper? And you know it's what? too late because she's just had the gas taken out of this argument, you know?
Yeah. And she's, you know what? Right now, you don't look like you're going to a pool party. However, I never looked you up and down like that. And of course, they show the footage of Jackie clearly looking her up and down. They even put an arrow this time.
Yeah. And Danielle's like, I saw you. And here's the difference between me and you. I got a vibe from you that I didn't like. So I didn't invite you to my house for my party. All right. And whether you did it or not, well, could you get your hands out of my face, please? Thanks.
Like, you're resorting to the old hands.
The old hand argument. So Danielle's like, you know, you're from Staten Island. You should know. This is how I talk. This is how I talk. And then she starts like voguing with her hands. And Jackie's like, is that a threat? She's like, oh, no, you'll know when I'm threatening you. You'll know when I'm threatening you. And Jackie's like, if the words I'm sorry can't leave your fucking mouth, then fuck off. Like, wait, but what does Danielle have to be sorry for? Not inviting you to the mozzarella party? I mean, you guys aren't friends.
she's supposed to be sorry for not inviting her after she heard that she had hamper pants.
Yeah.
It's my favorite kind of drama on a Housewives show.
Margaret's like, wow, what are you going to do? So she goes and checks in on Jackie. And Jackie.
Not only that, she goes, oh my God, where is she? Where's Jackie? I'm going to go get her. This is the biggest thing that could have happened. And Jackie just goes, oh my God, she's a fucking idiot, that girl.
And then Danielle says something about a vault. I couldn't understand what she was saying.
She said, I rewound it 3 times. So you're welcome.
Yeah, I did it too. And then I gave up.
So Danielle is talking to Rachel and Fesla, and Rachel goes, what was that about the shorts? What was that? And she goes, if I told you where they were from, you'd disown me. And Rachel says, what happened? I need to know. She goes, nope, I'm keeping it to myself in the vault. It's in the chikinis. It's going nowhere. So I guess she got her shorts from Target or something.
Got it. So then Louis Jr. he comes out with like a little, he made like a Nutella pizza that says love on it. And he shows it to Teresa and she's like, ah, my stepson. I love saying that. Stepson. Everyone's like, oh gosh. And so.
So now Jacqueline, poor Jackie, has nobody to shoot with. Okay, she just got shot down in the argument she tried to have. It's just not going well for her right now. So she goes, hey, Jen, you want to do a shot? Come on, bitch. And so Jen's like, oh, okay, sure. So they start cheersing, and Marge comes over. It's just, Jackie, she bitched about you and said you're a snob. Why are you doing shots with her? And she's like, saying I'm a snob really isn't the worst thing. I am kind of a snob. Besides, there's a camera right there. Could you just let me have a moment?
Any port in a storm, am I right? So Margaret's like, well, I'm offended that she called Jen Fessler to complain about me. And Jennifer Aiden's like, I called Jen Fessler to recommend a marriage counselor, baby. No, but then why'd you call Jen Fessler for a marriage counselor? Why her? And so Jen Aiden says, P.S. on that phone call, Jen Fessler was not defending Margaret at all. I love that's the litmus test. She calls up Jen Fessler, talks mad shit about Margaret, and then it's like, and she wasn't defending you. It's like, no, you are the one in the wrong here, not Jen Fessler.
I know, but you kind of love Jen's dedication. And Marge is like, well, you said I was jealous of you. No, not jealous. Threatened. Just, what am I threatened by, Jen? And she's like, well, I don't think everything you did to me last year was just because you thought I was a quote-unquote hypocrite. She wanted to know about the context of the history, and so I told her. She says, oh my God, why did you even call her to talk about it? It makes no sense.
You know what? Let's call her over. Okay, Jen Fessler, come over here. Okay, Jen Fessler's here. All right. Listen, she was saying I called to talk to you about Margaret. And Margaret's like, no, I didn't say that you called to speak specifically about that. I said you spoke about me. Yeah, but I'm sure you guys speak a lot about me too. I mean, hello? So then Margaret's like, okay, how do you move forward with someone like you when you're like still holding on grudges about this? Come on, Jen.
I'm allowed to state the facts of the matter, baby. And Rachel's like, but you did the same thing to me after the mozzarella party. You started talking shit about Dolores. And what did I say to you? What did I say to you? And Dolores goes, wait a minute, you were talking about me? Yeah. And you said, I'm giving context. And I said, this is not for me to get involved. Rachel's yelling way too much in this. I mean, I like the new girls. They're coming through, but they're really gunning the gas.
But I feel like that's like who they are, you know? And Jen's like,
yeah, but I said to you, this is not for you to get involved. I said, I'm just giving you the history. I'm giving some context. I'm just, you know, it's like you pressed the little eye on your television. You got the description of what the episode was. That's all, baby.
And Rachel goes, is this a history lesson? And Jen goes, you fucking idiot. And Rachel's like, oh my God, watch your fucking mouth. And she's like, no, you fucking idiot. I don't even know why you're talking to me.
Rachel, when was she talking about me? Come on, Rachel. Dolores is still like, she's like, I'm ready to wring her neck. Come on.
Yeah. And she goes, why would you talk about me, Jen? Do I call anybody to talk about Jen? Anybody want to raise their hand? So now Jen just starts screaming. She's like,
First of all, I called her because I wanted a recommendation for someone to give me the recommendation Fessler gave me about marriage counseling.
Why is she screaming? Why is she screaming?
Because I want to get my point across, baby.
So then Jackie's like, okay, you know what? Why don't you get quiet? Because you'll get your point across more when you're a little quiet.
Okay, baby. So I called her up and I said, I'm sorry about talking about your nose job. People badmouthed me about my terrible nose job, and I felt bad about your terrible nose job. I felt bad.
So just classic Jennifer.
She's so rude. And so Fesla passes by and she just gives this like hilarious scrunched up stink face to the camera. And then Jen's like, I said I felt bad about your terrible nose job. And Marge's like, oh my God, can you believe that she just said that to you? She goes, I was calling to apologize. And Marge's like, and then she said something mean about Dolores too. And Dolores goes, yes. And guess what? I'm offended by that. Very, very offended.
Offended by what, Dolores?
I'm not calling and talking about you and Bill, am I?
Yeah, but I didn't call to talk about you. We just left the house and we were talking about what happened. And don't we always talk about what happens when shit goes down? Don't we always call up the person with the worst nose in the group and talk about what happened?
And Jackie's like, I wouldn't know because I wasn't invited. Ha ha. And Teresa's like, you know what? I know, Jen. She, you know what? She's never going to tell you to take sides. And Rachel goes, oh, no, she was not telling me to take sides. Oh, all right. Hey, has anyone seen my love bubble? It's in the pool.
It's like a dancer passed out in the bubble, suffocated to death. So
the ball has like completely sucked in from all of the air. It's just like, you know, wrapping this poor dead dancer.
So Rachel's like, you know what? She didn't want me to take sides. However, it wasn't what I wanted to be part of. And Dolores goes, good for you, Rachel. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. You want a medal? Someone give her a medal, baby. You can hang it off that nose job.
And Rachel's like, I'm leaving. And Tree goes, already? All right. Well, you gotta go already. And, Rachel's just storming off and getting food at a go. But she's telling us, I could give two shits what comes out of Jennifer Aiden's mouth. You fucking idiot. You have to give someone the power over you, and she will certainly never have that power over me. You're leaving the party. Like, she literally, you just let her have the power over you.
Yeah. And Jennifer Aiden goes, keep it moving. Don't let the door hit you on your ass on the way out. And Rachel goes, there's no door, asshole.
So Fuda goes, wait, she said you were a fucking idiot. She goes, oh my God, just stop. Let's go. It's not time for the husband housewife fight yet. Okay, we'll save that till later in the season.
He's like, you want to check her? She has no fucking class, idiot.
So Margaret's like, you didn't have to insult her nose job, Jen. She goes, I don't care if I insult her fucking nose job.
Yeah, and that's the end of the love bubble party and the end of the episode.
I thought it was pretty funny that Jackie is staying right next to Jen and laughing at all of this because she needs an ally. I mean, she's like willing to be like, fuck everything. I'll just stay with Jen then if I need to.
She'll do what she needs to do. Stay in it, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the end of this week's episode. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We will have two videos coming up the rest of the week. We'll have Vanderpump Rules and Real Housewives of Miami coming up. Also, our bonus episode will be up over on our Patreon. WatchWhatCrappins.com is where you'll find links. And also, last couple of days to catch the crappies, buy tickets for that and get tickets for all of our live shows coming up through June. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
The Bay Area Betches, bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.